Bill sent me an email saying that he thought we should do Pastor Got Run Over by a Reindeer today. But I said we'll save that for another day, closer to Christmas.
Soon to be a classic.
Soon to be a classic. It's going to be in the hymnals as we go forward. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, if not, you'll see it up on the screen. We're going to 2 Corinthians today, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to talk about being thankful when life doesn't go well. Years ago, when Joey was, about 5-6 years old, we had neighbors who were very nice people. However, they had a kind of a bad understanding about Scripture and the Bible. And we would get home from work about the same time, my neighbor and myself, and I saw him get out of the car, and he's limping, and I'm figuring maybe he hurt himself or something happened. And he was a little bit older than I was, but I was a young man back then, and so was he. So I went over to him, and I said, are you okay? I see you're limping. And he says, well, I had put stones in my shoes. And I said, why in the world would you put stones in your shoes? And he said to me, and I'm not making this up, I'm saying this in all seriousness, he says to me, because the more I suffer, the more God loves me. And I said to him, that's not right. That is not true. Okay? You can't ever earn God's love. It's there. You just need to receive it by faith. Jesus was the epitome of God's love, dying for us on the cross. We can never earn God's love. No amount of suffering, no amount of good works. But he was under the impression the more you suffered, the more God loved you. And it could be nothing further from the truth. Now listen to me, okay? You don't have to go out and look for suffering. It's going to find you. Because of life. Life happens. We live in a world that is profoundly influenced by evil because of sinful people like us. We also live in a world that is troubled because of sinful people like us. And part of the curse of the Garden of Eden, if you remember, is not only were we cursed, but we were told now that our bodies were going to be subject to what? Disease. Woof. Because Adam was a wimp. I'm serious. Because Adam didn't have the fortitude to say no to to temptation. And he wimped out. And you know the story. Generally speaking, it's easy to be thankful when life is going well. Isn't it? And we're doing this without notes today, okay? Because it just crashed. But generally speaking, it's when life goes well, we have no problem giving thanks. Here's the rub. We think that if we are good people, and none of us are ever that good, okay? If we think we're good people, that God is obligated now to make everything go our way. And even Christ followers fall into this trap. But Lord, I teach Sunday school every week. Or Lord, I'm in church every week. Or Lord, I read my Bible every day. Lord, I pray every day. So why is this happening to me? I want to change that narrative around and say it's happening because of life. Life comes hard sometimes, doesn't it? It could be anything. It could be economic setback. It could be family issues. It could be diseases. It could be a whole bunch of stuff that happens periodically. So like I said before, if we think that we have to look for suffering, you don't have to. It's going to find you. And the question is, what do we do when that happens. I want to make a suggestion to you, and the suggestion is simply this, that whether we like it or not, when we're under pressure and life is not going the way we wish it to go, that's when our true character comes out. Isn't it? I have it. It finally came up. Thank you. Joey came to my rescue. So we need to ask a tough question. The bigger question is, how do we respond when life deals with something difficult? How do we respond? Do we get angry at God? If you do, that's okay. It's how you handle that. And you have to isolate the reason why. Do you get angry at God because life didn't go the way you wanted it to go? Do we stop reading the Bible, His Word? Do we stop praying? Do we stop worshiping and withdraw from church fellowship? I see this pattern all the time. Do we isolate ourselves and try to escape our pain through overworking? You know, most workaholics are trying to escape a bad home situation or circumstance in their life they don't want to deal with. Do we try to escape through the abuse of alcohol or drugs? Do we try to escape through immorality or pornography? Or whatever the issue is, do we try to escape? Is it possible by God's grace to experience biblical thankfulness through painful and difficult times? Now be careful how you answer that. Because we can all answer that yes. And when we leave here this afternoon, something happens and we're not so quick to answer that anymore. One of the problems in the American church, by the way, is this is not endemic with young people. This is across the board because of the type of culture we're in. Because we tend to catch the culture, we don't know it, but we tend to catch the culture. One of the problems in our culture, even in the church, because it seeps in, is that we think we're entitled. We think we're entitled to have things to go the way we want them, how we want them, and that's just not the reality of life. And so when things happen, we get upset with God, we get upset with everything else, rather than seeing the situation for what it really is. You say, well, Pastor, what is that? Whenever God allows difficult times in our lives, that is an opportunity for God to show His power. Well, Pastor, isn't there an easier way? Not this side of heaven. Not this side of heaven. In the second letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, the churches in Corinth, he's under attack. He's under attack from within the congregation and outside of the congregation because the legalists, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who built a religion on tradition and their man-made laws were coming behind Paul and saying, listen, this guy's lying to you. This guy is saying you can know God's forgiveness through simple faith in this guy by the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to do anything but simply believe that Jesus died for you personally on the cross for your sin. And they were coming in and saying, that's heresy. And Paul was saying, it's not. It's the truth. And they were attacking Paul, saying, maybe you're not really an apostle. Maybe you're just a charlatan like we see on television sometimes. Well, they didn't have TV back then. But there were a lot of charlatans back then. And so Paul, in his defense, gives us some keys about dealing with life when life doesn't go as planned. Other than Jesus Christ himself, we have more data about Paul than any other apostle in the Bible. You could take the snapshot of Paul's life, and he was always in trouble. Isn't that the truth? He was thrown in jail for sharing the gospel. Talk about unjust. Not only was he thrown in jail once, he was thrown in jail three times. He ended up being shipwrecked. He ended up being beaten, left for dead. I mean, you talk about trouble finding Paul, suffering. But you see, he wasn't suffering for stupid stuff he did. He was suffering for the Savior he represented. The only Savior, the only one who can free us from our own sin and our own bondage by faith alone. So Paul is under attack. Not only was Paul under attack, but something else was going on with Paul, because we discovered in his phraseology that he uses in this passage, and I'm going to bring you there in a minute, that he had a thorn in the flesh. Any of you ever have a splinter? They're annoying to me. I mean, I've had some deep splinters. I couldn't even get them out. I had to get the salve that smelled like tar, you know, and put it on it to draw it out. But they're painful, right? And picture something that is that painful all the time with you. Well, let's look at this passage. Paul gives us insights in how he was dealing on this. He's in the middle of his defense and he says, if I must go on boasting, which Paul didn't want to do, by the way, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to the visions or revelations from the Lord. I know a man, Paul's talking about himself, by the way, in Christ, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. God in his grace is God's unmerited favor. God in his grace gave Paul this incredible vision, much like he did John, the Apostle John in Revelation. Brought him up to, I believe this is a reference to that praise room in heaven where God is at the center. And he probably saw the heavenly host, the angels, and maybe the saints who went before him, just in an incredible worship service praising God. Couldn't even tell about it. Wasn't even permitted to tell about it. He says, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my what? Weaknesses. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't have weaknesses? We all do, because we're sinful. Isn't that right? He says, even if I should boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted but what I say or do. This is such a good passage for a lot of reasons. You know, Paul has a great resume. If you were to see Paul's resume, you would say, wow. Yeah. And what he's doing is recapping some of that resume. And what he's saying, he says this in another passage, by the way, in another letter. He says, I can take all of this and tell you that, and I'm going to use this word, it's the word the scripture uses, this is dung compared to my Savior. Compared to my Savior. Another way of saying this is, Paul never wanted to get a fat head. Paul never wanted to become conceited. Now listen. The root of all sin is pride. It's the root of all sin. We want things when we want them, how we want them, and so on and so forth. The root of all sin is pride. And sometimes when things go well, you know what we start to believe? I'm all that. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what, you know, I'm all that. Now, there's nothing wrong with accomplishments. But I'll tell you this. The Christ follower who has his or her head on straight and is under the authority of the Word and the Holy Spirit would say, no, it's not me. It's God. In and of myself, I could not do this. Why does Paul boast about his weaknesses? Simply because that is through our weaknesses, when we bring them before God, that God is able to show his power and bring glory to him. Well, isn't that a contradiction? No. Look at what he says. He says, even if I should boast, I would be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so that no one will think more than of me than is warranted by what I say or do, or because of the surpassingly great revelations. Should God ever give you revelation like that? Rather than boast about it, you know what you should do? You should be flat on your face before him. Say, I don't deserve this. I'm just a sinner, Lord. I don't deserve this. So what Paul did here is something that I think we can learn from. Things were not going well. They wanted to vote him out of the church. They wanted to attack him. Wasn't his best day. And what does he do? He reflects on the grace of God. He reflects on all that God has done for him. Not because Paul is so special, but because he's simply a sinner saved by grace who has weaknesses. Look at this, middle of verse 7. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming, what's the word? I was given a what? A messenger of Satan. Those are tough words. A messenger of Satan to torment me. This was not a simple splinter. We don't know exactly what it was. Some theologians feel it could have been an eye problem that Paul maybe was developing. He might have been losing his sight. Some feel it could have been an emotional, spiritual issue that he was wrestling with. Whatever it was, he recognized that this was a dart, if you will, from Satan. That Satan was kind of fueling this. Listen, how many of you ever read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Okay. The main key in that book, as he teaches Wormwood, one of his cronies, what he should do with followers of Christ. He says simply this. He says, make them discouraged and you will have won. Discouragement is one of the biggest messengers of Satan. And if we live in that discouragement, it could paralyze us, can't it? I want you to notice what Paul didn't do here. He didn't become paralyzed, number one, by the grace of God, by discouragement. Number two, he didn't take on a victim mentality. He didn't say, woe's me. Woe's me. Why is this happening to me? You know, when we take on the victim mentality, it's like nobody else ever went through this. You know, this is me. Now, please, don't leave here. When there are crimes that have happened, there are genuine victims, okay? When there's abuse that happens, there are genuine victims. I understand that. What I'm saying here is Paul is dealing with the suffering that life can bring sometimes. In his case, he was being persecuted, even by some of his own people. And he's saying, I don't want to become conceited. If I become conceited, it becomes all about me. And not about God. If I become paralyzed and I lose my ministry before God. I can't minister to the Gentiles. If I take on a victim mentality and then I'm going to ignore and get discouraged. He says, I don't want to do that. So what did he do? He took the matter before God. That's the second thing that we can do when life deals us a blow. We come and we talk to God honestly. Honestly. I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you leaving here thinking that you have to have a plastic smile when life doesn't go well. That's not what this is talking about. I don't want you leaving here thinking that the more you suffer, the more God loves you. No, that's not true. We're all going to suffer. It's life. The key is only God can turn that suffering into something that glorifies him if we let him. Three times, the scripture says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, put yourself in Paul's sandals. Here's a guy who went around and God used him to heal the sick. Sometimes all he had to do is pray over him or place hands on him. And God in his grace healed him. Now he comes before the same God and says, Lord, take this away from me. And Paul could have gone one of two ways on this. Well, Lord, if you don't take this away from me, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm gone. But Paul was honest enough to come to prayer. And he was honest enough to be that frank with God. And he was honest enough and open enough to hear the answer. See, that's the key. When we go to prayer, are we praying to get God to give us the answer we want? Or are we praying to God to give us the answer that he wants? So Paul was open to the answer that he wants. I want you to look at how this goes. But he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Huh. I've used this quote many times, and it's because it meant so much to me. I remember driving to seminary in my first year, going over the Turnpike Bridge into Philadelphia. And as I'm going over the bridge, I was resolute in quitting that day because I was in Greek class. I had to learn biblical Greek. And I was the only graduate in a master's program who hadn't had Greek in college because I didn't go to Bible school. And so it was just too overwhelming for me. And I remember, I could tell you exactly where I was. I was right on the border of New York and New Jersey on the Turnpike Bridge when Dr. Robert A. Cook came on. Some of you know Dr. Cook. He's now with the Lord. And he went through this devotional, and he said this at the end of the devotional. He said, no matter what you're going through, it's always too soon to quit. And that just hit me to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to quit. But Lord, if you're in this, you're going to help me because I'm weak. I'm weak. And that was the turning point. That's when I knew that God really wanted me there. Paul brought the matter before God. He prayed. He meditated. He looked to God during the difficult, hard times. He realized that he experienced difficult times to humble him. Listen, you don't have to answer this. But have you ever been humbled by God? When he humbles us, he doesn't humble us because he's not happy with us. He humbles us so we can learn to rely on him and trust him. Paul realized the overall purpose why God allowed his pain, humility, dependence on the Holy Spirit, on the Word of God. C.S. Lewis wrote this quote. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse the deaf. Last, we need to give thanks to God. It's Thanksgiving week. I often wonder what people do on Thanksgiving, you know, besides eat turkey and do whatever they do and unbuckle the belts because you're getting bloated and watching football or Suzanne's back there. She says, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, that's okay. That's okay. But do you realize that Thanksgiving was meant to give God thanks? God, our Creator, give Him thanks. It wasn't meant to go to Walmart to see what kind of sales you can get. It wasn't meant to start panicking because the holidays are just around the corner and your Christmas shopping isn't done yet or anything like that. It was meant to come and be still and reflect and thank God, not only for His blessings, but thank God for His blessings even through the hard times. Even through the hard times. It is easy to thank God in the good times. It's a little bit more difficult. God will use problems to glorify Himself as we remain obedient by faith to what He wants us to do. And we move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you and I are willing to walk with Jesus in loving obedience to the deep waters of life, we learn through our weaknesses that we can be the strongest. But Pastor, isn't there an easier way? I don't think so. I don't think so. If we choose the wrong way, it's probably more painful. God's grace enables us to accept our weakness and then enables us to honor God through it all. Let me just give you one last illustration, okay? In the 30 years or so I've been in ministry, I never missed a Christmas Eve service until last year. Last year at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I had a severe vertigo attack, which is nothing new for me. Just never happened to me on Christmas Eve. And the first thing I'm thinking of is it's Christmas Eve. I need to get to the church. I need to go. And I did everything in my power to do that. And when I stood up and I fell down again, I knew it wasn't going to happen. And on top of that, those of you who ever wrestled with vertigo, you get sick to your stomach. And so Dr. K's not here today. He's probably in surgery. But he graciously came over, checked me out, make sure I didn't have a stroke or a heart attack. And I knew I wasn't going to be here that night. And as much as that hurt, as much as I wanted to be with all of you, I knew God gave me three men who were prepared to take over that night. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know what I discovered? God doesn't need me. I know, I'm serious. The service still went on. God was still glorified through those and through all of you who came that night. I mean, I'm happy to serve. But once I think I'm it, God's going to send another vertigo attack again to humble me, to say, I got this. I got this. Do you realize that whatever suffering should find us didn't take God by surprise? He knew it. Mahalia Jackson did a song years ago, became widely popular, and was probably a spiritual years ago. I don't know the whole background about it, but it was called, like, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, right? He's got the whole wide world in His hands. Remember the Allstate commercial? You're in good hands with Allstate? That Christmas Eve, I knew I was in good hands. I was in the hands of the Savior. And He had it in control. Even though the world was spinning, He had it in control. Even though I felt sick to my stomach, He had it in control. And although He put me down for a day or so, He had it in control. So may I ask you, what deep waters are you navigating today? Are you going through some difficult circumstances that were either unexpected, not because of our own wrongdoing? Are you ready to reflect on your relationship with God through Christ? Are you willing to bring the matter before God in prayer and speak honestly to Him? Are you willing to continue to be obedient to God through the difficult times with His help, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that through our weakness, God can be glorified? Blessed be your name when the road is marked with suffering. Let's pray.